SiriusXM Sports presents
At the Races with Steve Bick.
Horse racing, handicapping,
interviews.
This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
A very good Thursday, race fans. Sirius 219, XM 201, Sports Zone 964, if you're listening to Sirius XM Online. And on our website, too, stevebick.com. And a very good morning. It was a very good afternoon and evening in and around Arcadia. Yesterday, the very welcome news from the Los Angeles County Department of Public Health, giving the thumbs up, the okay, the rubber stamp, however you want to categorize it, for Santa Anita to get going again. And there'll be some very actually interesting little protocols that are above and beyond. Put it that way. They want to minimize the personnel in the paddock and make really the extremes, and that includes housing jocks on the racetrack. There's a lot to this, but the best part is just that they're going to run, and they drew Saturday's card as well, the first of the stakes that they're going to be able to run between now and the end of the meet. So you could just sense collectively the sigh of relief and the appreciation of everybody from the horsemen and the owners and the backstretch teams, from management perspective, horse player, everybody excited. And hope to catch up with Steve Anderson this morning. He's always out and about and on the move, so I'm going to get a couple of specifics from him, because these protocols seem really stringent, and they'll be very carefully executed, including a situation where the horses, and this is the one part of it that you hope goes as smoothly as possible, the handing off of horses from their grooms to a staff of grooms that will take the horses. They're going to be saddled in that round pen, as it were, the roundhouse behind the saddling enclosure, and then handed back off to the grooms post race. So that's a wrinkle that I'm sure everybody's going to watch. But hey, whatever it takes, right, to get this going. And it just was great news for everybody. And it contributes to what, now I'm not going to call it, we're not going to call it a typical May weekend, especially because Preakness would have been on Saturday. But it certainly is a step again. Week after week here, we're just sort of moving in the right direction. There's still some jurisdictions that are waiting and watching and in communication with state houses. Very quiet in New York, but repeated the same thing every morning, that NYRA remains very hopeful, based on what they are, their discussions, that things are not far off for Belmont to kick off the spring season. And actually, it looks like it's going to be just in time for some decent weather. Here it is mid-May, and it's in the 30s a lot of mornings. It's been really, really difficult from that standpoint. You don't mind being kind of housebound, but when you go out, you want to, the yard work, whatever it is, go for a stroll. Tina's always She must ask me three times a day. You want to go for a walk? You want to go for a walk? I'm not a collie. No, I don't have to go for a walk every, 4 to 5 hours. And if I'm gonna, it better be temperate outside. So at least we're, it's sunny at the very least. That goes a long way. Pennsylvania, as we mentioned yesterday, and you might have seen comments that came out from Todd Mustler yesterday, and I'd spoken to Todd earlier in the morning, and they're a little, a little frustrated at the prospects of being included in entertainment venues that would include the casinos and theaters. If you saw the letter from Governor Wolf's office, and including, what is essentially an open air enterprise with, the kinds of gatherings indoors, it doesn't really make a lot of sense. And so, Todd was, I think, has been a little increasingly frustrated with, what Harrisburg has been offering, and Penn and Erie in particular, based on what Todd said to me yesterday, Erie in particular has had very limited issue, and Presque Isle would be, if they could get one facility started and then maybe work their way, to Grantsville and then Bensalem. Bensalem, and meaning Parks, is going to be the toughest. We'll see if Tony, what Tony has, is hearing and is being told. So, there's the snapshot. In the meantime, we'll talk about Fonner in a second. The results yesterday from the Pick Five, which ended up, with the nice priced winner in the last leg, ended up paying six times the parlay, give or take, maybe more. The venues today that come back: Charlestown, 7 o'clock tonight, Eastern time, and of course Golden Gate. As if you were listening and earlier, and you heard Nick Tamaro go through the sequence. Golden Gate kicks off today at 3:45. Eastern time, 12:45 Pacific, and the Golden Pick Six with the $400,000 pot in it and a mandatory payout coming. That starts at 2:12 Pacific, 5:12 Eastern. So the card at Charlestown, we didn't really talk specifics the other day with Eric Zimney, but that's a nice card, too. The way they were stacked up like planes over O'Hare, this is not unexpected. But, boy, a treat, including a $29,000 mile and a 16th Philly and Mare allowance. That looks pretty, pretty darn good. The eighth race tonight, 10 o'clock Eastern. So, those of you that live for Chucktown, you're back in business. Tomorrow, of course, the Santa Anita card, deep and compelling. And then they come back on Saturday. I didn't print PPs yet, just overnight. But you got the Calbred Stakes, the Echo Eddie, and the Evening Jewel. And, much like the two cards that Churchill has put together for Saturday and Sunday, virtually, not every race, a sellout, a overflow field, but a lot of them, including the late Pick Five, which has got the two stakes. It's got a very high quality 7-horse filly and mare allowance going a mile on the grass, and then a maiden special, and then a Calbred maiden claimer 50s. So nice. A number of 12 horse fields. The allowance, it's funny, even with the the period of inactivity, it's still tough to really fill up, you know, an allowance. You look at this fourth race they'll have Saturday, and there's some very nice horses in here. Law Abiding Citizen, Axeman, Justinian, those two for Baffert, Kershaw for Phil D'Amato, Route 66 for Samantha Siegel. And Samantha got five horses Friday, Saturday, Sunday, five horses, one at Churchill and four in California. So she's got the gate filled and ready to pop. Multiplier runs as well. And this is the fourth race, three and ups, which have never won, blah, 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 allowance plus. It's a nice group. But it's just funny that even under this condition, it's tough to fill up allowance races. But, boy, yeah, you're not going to have as much trouble. I know we've all been betting whatever we could get our hands on. You'd be a little more selective, I think, here going into the weekend with, I think, a total. How many? Let's add it up, because it's, let's see, Gulfstream, Santa Anita, Golden Gate, Charlestown, Tampa. And I'm missing somebody. I think a total of six on Saturday. And in fact, let me go to my, I've been keeping, you know, a constantly updated master list. And so beyond the Monday through Wednesday tracks, Gulfstream, Tampa, Charlestown, Golden Gate, Santa Anita, and Churchill. So six. And then next week you add Maria Doso and Asenboya, and then Mountaineer. And then, of course, there's that chance we'll wait for further confirmation from Laurel after Governor Hogan yesterday. So the trains are being loaded up, and they're being stoked, and they're pulling out of the station. And very, very, very welcome on all fronts. Let's take a quick look at what went on yesterday at Fawner. Going to hear from Vic Powell. We'll do some Hong Kong this morning and Thursday. We'll catch up with Tony on a few different fronts. And I hope he got a chance to listen. He lit up when I told him about Don Brumfield coming on, and I hope he got to hear it. And Steve Askin, Rich Eng, want to catch up with Rich as well today and more. Yesterday at Fawner, big day for Dakota Wood, and five wins for Dakota Wood yesterday. He I think he had two by the time the fifth race got going, right? Is that what it was? Two or three? Yeah, he had the late double. So yeah, and he had the win in the six. So five wins, and you know, there was nothing about this. I put together a very small ticket actually, and I thought, you know, this seems, they never end up, as we talked about the Rainbow Six from after the weekend. They can look, you know, as predictable and mundane as they want, but when you start, you know, spinning them around, it just doesn't come off in a sequence this long. And even though you had three favorites and a very near second choice, it only took one price to make this thing really lucrative. And, you know, there was plenty of money that came in. The pool was $2.2 million, and he ended up taking home $2,116. The parlay was $315. You had a $540, a $760, $480, $4, and $2,560, and we'll get to the horse in the nightcap in a second. Rye Rye Sweetie won the first leg, took a lot of money, actually, and, you know, got bet like like she was live. And Francisco Arrieta, you know, has already had a big week going into the day, overshadowed yesterday by Dakota Wood. But Rai Rai Sweetie wins the first leg, and, you know, she was one of the ones. I went four deep in there. The favorite ended up second. So you start with the 540, and I picked the wrong single. I was a little miffed at myself because I kind of weighed the second leg and the third and ended up singling Put Sarah On because I thought, you know, first of all, Armando Martinez landing there, and I thought that she would be further back than she was. I was very surprised that she was right on the pace immediately. And Diva's Diva, who ended up going off favored at just under 3-1. So, you know, the public, you had five horses between 3-1 and 5-1, essentially. So the public was spread out. And the favorite ends up winning. Put Sarah On looked like she was finished on the turn, and then, you know, kind of plugged along for a meek second, but it wasn't good enough. And it's funny, when she didn't take much money, went off at 5-2 or 5-1, 9-2, I thought, not going to happen. And then sure enough, Dirty Dixie Road ends up, you know, a easy winner under Jake Alesiak in the third leg. So picked the wrong single. Curious Kennedy got bet like iron, and Dakota Wood, I don't even think Dakota Wood ever asked the flat out mare. Stetson Mitchell, there he is again. And then the nightcap. And the nightcap was, I mean, I just would have turned on my heels and just gone to the car if I'd been at the track. I wavered and wavered and sat and looked between River Deputy and Emerald Point as like my last horse in the mix. And I ended up leaving Emerald Point off, and Dakota Wood with a confident handling, and Moonfield and Charm and Dixie, who were short numbers. They were like $250, $300 in the pick five. They had no answer. Emerald Point off the claim. Andrew Bossing. And a back-to-back winner. Kind of blew it. But this was a horse that was absolutely usable. Very, very frustrating. 2100, though. Congrats if you hit. Let's take a break. Dick Powell starts it off Thursday at the races. Back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Developed by Horsemen, Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, environment-friendly, paperless revolution of how equine industries bill and receive payments. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for each horse, whose owners can pay through the same website with just one click. Say goodbye to stacks of invoices, handwritten checks, and postage costs. Easy accounting for all parties with the highest online security measures. Get started free at Horsebills.com. Simply register with your name and email address. Free to sign up. No subscription fees to vendors until the first invoice. Voices sent. For owners, you get a free account, comprehensive dashboard with information on all horses owned and billing records, ACH and credit card payment options. For vendors, generate invoices efficiently and receive payments quickly from both owners and other vendors. Syndicate and partnership managers get flexible billing and payment options to both vendors and syndicate members. For more info, call 888-938-4643, 888-938-4643, or log on to horsebills.com. That's horsebills.com.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the five Kentucky tracks for horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.
DRF Sports Forum Digital Edition, your ultimate weekly betting guide. Published by Daily Racing Form, DRF Sports Forum delivers all of the analysis and insight you need for every NFL game and more than 40 college football matchups. Beat the spread with powerful trends and sharp angles. Tap into best bets, expert picks, parlay winners, and more. All for just $4.99 per issue. Get this week's edition free. Visit drf.com/sportsforum. Enter code DRFSports.
University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtib.org.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
We have all the time in the world. Time enough for life to unfold all the precious things life has in store. And we got all the love.
Good choice, kids.
We're back. I at some point, probably, I guess tomorrow at this point, we'll when we dive into the Churchill card. Did you look carefully at the jockey colony? The jocks that are riding? It's nuts. In addition to all of the, you know, the regulars that, you know, were distilled out of Oaklawn and Fairgrounds. You've got the New York guys are on hand, including Manny Franco, John Velasquez, the Ortizes, Javier Castellano. It's nuts. Then there's the guys that, you know, making the move over from Oaklawn, and Gaffleone's up on Saturday to ride some. They're going to be thick and heavy, and the competition the next few weeks here for mounts. And I imagine, you know, that'll be an interesting thing to follow. Some horses that, you know, that end up with some, well, they're going to be significant. I mean, I haven't really handicapped the card yet, but there's going to be a lot of jock switches and new riders aboard some horses. So, you know, match up some stylists, guys that come from off and such that might. You know, move a horse up. We'll talk to Tony about that. That'd be fun. That's a good topic. We can talk to Dick Powell about it. And we can talk about Matthew Poon, who yesterday, Dick, watching the races with one eye in the morning, there he was, and I missed it early on the card. I think the third race, he punched one home for nice change. Good morning.
Yeah, it was 21-1. I went back and did the research. He's only winning at 5%. He has 442 starters. So if you bet $2 on all of them, $884, you get back $1,169. So that one out of 20 mounts that he wins with, he makes the most of it. So he'll finish the season with a flat bet profit. He did last year. And it's just remarkable that he's able to consistently bring home long shots. If he brought home one a day, they wouldn't be as long as they are. So he wins a race every couple of weeks. But it's 21-1, and the other guy is doing similar things as this new rider, Antoine Hamelin. And he had two winners yesterday. He has 90 starts, and they've returned $291 in earnings. So he's another one with a huge flatbed profit. And he's just done sensational since he showed up, because he came in beyond halfway through the meet. And to pick up the way he's done is just remarkable. So those two riders are the ones that bring home the money. Now I came up with a good idea, Steve.
Go ahead.
And it's kind of similar to the Seinfeld episode where Elaine is working with this guy who's like a writer, and he's in combat fatigues, and everything he says is kind of raw, and she like cleans it up for him, and they actually form to be a good writing team. So I'm thinking the opposite. The next time I want to say something or answer a question, and I want to be diplomatic, but I don't want to be diplomatic, but I have to be diplomatic, I just call Leon up and have Leon answer the question.
That's great. People are saying you should have Leon every week. You can't have Blue on every week. You got to have Blue on in. You know, blue is like lobster. I won't say crab, because I could eat crab almost every day, but lobster, it's so rich and heavy, and you can't have lobster every day or every week. But he's just priceless.
I hope he's sitting in his car listening outside his apartment.
That's great. Yeah, what's
great with that is I called a friend of mine about a month ago, and just to check on my friend, and I asked him, "Hey, have you heard from Blue?" And he said, "Yeah, Blue's fine." So then they hear his voice and everything. Yeah, Blue's fine. Sounded great.
He is 100% fine, and you know, I mean I've known him now, I guess it's, you know, the breadth of the show, and I mean, he's unchanged. It's you know, he might not be as spry, but it's unbelievable. You know, to go running to Europe every year, and to go and send that filly. In fact, it's funny, coincidentally, I heard from Mike Trombetta yesterday, and after the show, and so Mike and I were talking, and I forget what the I guess I brought it up. I said to him, you know, Blue was on today, and he was talking about that filly of his, the half to Cold Front that you had your hands on, and he told me, you know, the story that she was just as Blue said, he said she was just so big and rangy and gangly and you know, needed time, and Blue apologized to him left and right about, you know, moving her, but just felt like Europe and the way they develop horses there and the turf, it all, you know, kind of fit for her. But Mike said she was just exquisite looking. I mean, other than the issue that kept her from selling well at Timonium or at Keeneland. Was it Keeneland or Timonium? I can't remember. But anyway, Mike, Blue and Mike's father, literally, you know, we're on the track at the same time, you know, for decades. It's a very close, the family.
Well, he's an original.
Yes, to say the least. We covered a lot of ground. He was actually generous with Secretariat, who he usually beats up on a typical basis.
I thought he was going to go past the red line, because he has some stories with the Secretariat's trainer.
Well, we got to, you know, when we get Blue and we get Tony Black occasionally, when they start to run off, you know, you gotta throw a cross at them and pull them up a little bit.
Well, what I like is when people volunteer information to me. So when I moved up here in 1984, and I got to know some people in town, and they obviously know horse racing, but they knew horse racing back in the old days. And some of the stuff they told me, it's reinforced my opinion that there's never been a day of hail to water in horse racing history. It has never happened. And I'm not asking them, hey, what did they do back then? They're just volunteering this. And it's just, you know, it's a different world. Different world.
Well,
now, what you just mentioned, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
Well, but what you just mentioned about Churchill and the jocks and everything, what's going to be interesting, handicapping is, number one, enormous fields. Wow. And number two, do the locally based Churchill horses have the edge as opposed to the horses that are shipping in? Because they've had this staggered shipping process that began last Monday. So I would pay close attention to where these horses are training, even if it's not at Churchill, if it's at one of the training centers nearby or something like that. I think those horses would tend to be more fit and more ready for a Sunday opening than some of the ones that are just coming in or might have just gotten in. See if that bears watching.
No doubt. And today's the 14th, so today is the first day that the Florida horses are rolling through the gates. And then next will be the Oaklawn shippers and early part of next week, and then subsequently anybody else that wants to come from anywhere else on the compass. As long as Steve Hargraves.
Did you notice did you get a chance to look at the overnight?
Saturday or Sunday?
Both days. It was like going back 30 years. You see a race, there's 12 in the body, 4 AEs, 17 excluded. When was the last time? And Leon actually brought that up about the stars. And I mean, racing entries used to be all determine if you're going to get in or not, whether you had stars and everything. And if you were on the excluded part, you got a star and stuff like that. And so you couldn't play games as far as scratching or anything else like that because you're taking a big risk of not getting back in when the races run again. So they got... And the purses were very, very strong. So they should do pretty well.
Well, Fox Sports Network 2 going to have a lot of coverage again this weekend, and it'll all be there for you to take in. And it's funny, the excluded thing for those that look at the overnights. You know, we sent the overnight out for the Churchill card and for the Santa Anita card yesterday, and or what's today? Today's Thursday, so Tuesday, but I had not noticed the excluded. I had seen the AEs and so forth, but 12 excluded out of the first, 4 out of the third, 12, you're right, out of the fifth. Unbelievable. The 5 out of the eighth, 9 out of the tenth. Pretty crazy. Pretty crazy. Well, it should be a lot of fun. And, you know.
It just looks like a overnight from Saratoga, 1979 or something.
Yeah, the highlight, to have, I'd tell you the other thing about this that is nice, to have Monomoy Girl on this opening day card is a treat, too. What time's that race go? 2:32 is the post, and I should check and see if I don't know if they're going to have the same kind of all-day coverage that they did for Oaklawn, which was what 1:30 to 7. So don't know if they'll probably give that race on the tape, most likely. But either way, Monomoy Girl for everybody. And it's funny that race I did. Open up and kind of look at things, including the figs. And this is a long layoff I mean, the theory goes when you've got a champion type and, you know, you've got, you know, serious stake horses coming off a layoff like this, if you're going to beat them, this is the spot to go against. So we'll see who we'll see who's willing to line up against her when we do the serious weekend preview handicapping tomorrow.
Did you print out Thoroughbred?
I only for the seventh, eighth, ninth, 10th, 11th, the late pick five. I got all the.
I was going to ask you how many times did you have to refill your printer with paper? It got to be. Well, 160
paper's
pages.
No problem. The paper's no problem, but well, I don't use the full sheets. I don't print full sheet. I use the Thoroughquick.
Okay.
I actually prefer the Thoroughquick. I use the full sheet for maidens, for first time starters, and you know for fields. Well, like that seventh for that I'll print out. Although I'm waiting, I didn't print it yesterday. I'm waiting for a cartridge because I was perilously close to being out. So I saved those pages for. I like the full sheet for the 2 year olds and for the unraced 3 year olds. You get the sibling numbers. You get, you know, their performances and you see what they did early in their careers. And, you know, that I appreciate when it comes to the full size sheet.
Yeah, a lot of horses and no sign of it settling down because they, as you said, with the jockeys being down there and everyone knows, but that's where the horses are going to be, the races are going to be, and the ability to get into races is going to be tough. But still, you know they're racing. There's no uncertainty. Beginning.
That's the best. The best part. Yeah. No, this is. You know, to have this many tracks, you know, up already, and another, you know, 3 to 5 in the next 2 weeks. Certainly, as we've said, I mean, we've been saying this for weeks, Dick, that the game was uniquely positioned to be able to do this, and you know, now to get the OKs from respective state governments, et cetera, and the protocols, and you know, well done to all the entities that. You know, the NTRA and HBPA, THA, they all put together these comprehensive protocols that each of the tracks that then had to draw them up and present them to authorities. They all had working plans that have found the end zone. So I'm telling you, I think this has been a kind of a heartening experience, you know, and showing how everybody. You know, everybody's worked together and going to be better for it long term. Let's talk a little bit about what went on last week and what we got to look forward to, beside trying to dig up another Matt Poon $50 horse.
Sunday was back at Shot 10. Only one favorite won. Joe Marrera, who was trailing Zach by four, he wins three. Zach didn't win any. And there's a young man now in Hong Kong named Jerry Chow. And he is through their apprentice program where they take young riders, they contract them out to other countries. He was in South Australia. He won 70 or 80 races down there. So he's experienced rider. Now he's back in Hong Kong getting some business, 10 pounds off. And he won two races on Sunday at Shot 10. So that was heartening to see that you're getting the 10 pounds off and you're getting a relatively experienced rider, not necessarily experienced in Hong Kong racing. He's gone through the Hong Kong jockey school. But he'll be interesting to follow. Track got very fast. Horse named Hong Kong Wind won a Class 2 1,000 meters in 55.08. And Buddies, who's one of my favorites because he's by So You Think, won a Class 1 1,400-meter race at 120.88. So they were going pretty good last Sunday at Shot 10. Yesterday, the action switched to Happy Valley. We had three favorites win, which is kind of above par for Happy Valley. Now, going into yesterday, Zach only had a one-win lead over Joe, And Zach only had 6 rides out of the 9. Joe had rides in every race. So you're thinking, boy, this is going to be the turning point. And it turned out not to be. Zach wins 2 races yesterday, and Joe could only win 1. So he actually increases his lead 116 to 114. And that was interesting because it really looked like Joe might have passed him yesterday. And Zach continues to grind him out, and that'll go down to the last day. We mentioned Antoine Hamelin, just a terrific young rider, and Matthew Poon, as always, with the bombs. Now, last race yesterday, I doped out the last race, and they come in the paddock, and on the broadcast, and it really pays to watch the feed of the track. If you're watching it on a TV network that's showing other races, while that's fun to see French racing and other things, you still want to pay attention to the Hong Kong feed. And Jenny Chapman does their paddock reports. And I like this Happy Warrior, the 9 horse. So I bet him at 8-1. And then I hear her talking about it, and she said he's kind of stiff in the front. And so I'm looking at him, and I'm like, she's absolutely right. Now, he's coming off a big win, so it's entirely possible he still might be a little stiff in the front from that effort. I don't know, maybe he always walks stiff. Well, the end result was I went online and canceled my bet. And I just said, not going to take that chance. I agree with what she's saying. And the horse ran like he was stiff in the front. So that was just great information from her. And what I like with her is she's in the same place every day. She knows all the horses because they don't cycle in that many new horses during the year. So her notes are very meaningful because she gets to see them, especially every 2 to 3 weeks instead of every 5 to 6 weeks. So if a horse you saw 6 weeks ago might be very different today, well, 2-3 weeks, probably not. So it was just, I thought it was great information, and I listened to her for all the races, but on this one it really struck me. And I made the right decision, which is newsworthy in and of itself. So this Sunday, we go back to Sha-Tin, 1 o'clock post time, Eastern time, 10 o'clock post time, Pacific time, 10 turf races, no all-weather races this Sunday. Couple of horses I like, they're kind of angle-type horses. Race number 2, this is a Class 4, 40 to 60, and as we know, this is where first-time starters begin their careers because they get weighted at 52. And I like number 5, Dr. EQ. This is John Size training. Joe Marrera is going to ride. He's by Exceed and Excel, and Exceed and Excel has a boatload of winners in Hong Kong, and they're very fast. He was a great sprinter and miler in Australia. So Dr. EQ, the form guy, gives you all the barrier trial information, and he had been showing very good speed in his barrier trials. So I like seeing that. It's a 5 furlong sprint. He draws post 13, but that doesn't matter because it's a straightaway sprint. So I think Dr. EQ can get our day going pretty well in race number 2. He's number 5. And then on to the next race, number 3, Have Fun Together. It's coming off a layoff. He hasn't raced since July 14th. Don't really know how to interpret that, but his barrier trials since then have been okay. Casper Founds is the trainer, but the important thing is he gets Jerry Chow. So he's rated at 131, and he's actually coming off a big win at Sha-Tin last July. But with Jerry Chow, instead of carrying 131 pounds, he's getting it with 121 pounds. So they're going 6 furlongs, and he draws well. He has a big late kick, and he'll be interesting. And, you know, Founds, as most of the Hong Kong trainers can do, they can bring him in off the layoff and have them ready to go. So just an interesting horse there with an interesting angle, especially with the weight off. That's number 3, Have Fun Together in race number 3.
We're not allowed to.
One thing you might notice the 6 furlong races only have 12 starters because that's because the rail is out C+3. So the rail is out at the farthest point, so it's a little bit narrow. beginning at that point of the backstretch. The other races, the 1400 and 1600 meters, it doesn't affect. So, and then next Sunday, a week from Sunday, is the last Group 1 of the season. It's the Champions and Trader Cup. Group 1 going a mile and a half, 2400 meters. It's probably going to have Exultant and many of the usual suspects. And if I'm not mistaken, of the seven starters who are kind of pre-entered, haven't been finally declared, I think definitely Tony Cruz, and I think the other one, it's John Moore, have all the starters. There's nobody else with a horse in there. So they got the race to themselves, and that'll be the last Group 1 of the season. There'll be three or four group races, but that'll be the last Group 1, as this is card 71. So we only have about 9 more weeks of racing in the Hong Kong scene. They're also noticeable, I don't know why yesterday, but it was just noticeable, the horses are really warm. And the guys on the gate crew, they have towels, and they're like wiping off horses' necks and stuff. So if they got lathered up, it's noticeable because the whole horse is warm. But it must have been a hot day yesterday, and I'm sure, obviously, it's mid-May, and unlike our part of the world, it does get warm this time of year.
Exactly. Dick, I got a question. Our friend Nick is writing, and he is looking for the rules, and whether it's at HKJC.com or in some compendium of international pools. He's curious about the trio and the swinger rules, the Omni. Where should he go for that information?
I'm looking now that the form guide has all sorts of stuff in there about it, if I could get my thumb to work better. Let me see. Because they explain every bet, and they explain, on page A8 of the form guide, if you know how to get to the form guide, that's a big help. Parimutuel pools, and it goes through the various races. And then the next page is Parimutuel pools betting guide, and it goes through all the bets and the rules that are involved with them. So those two pages, just if he can go to HKJC, go to local racing, go to form, and then it doesn't pull up the form guide, but then you have to not scroll down, but go down to the bottom of the page and it'll say download form. And then when you download it, you get literally the track program in full color and everything. And then it's like 8 or 9 pages inside that. It does have that information.
Excellent. So all right. Well, you know what I'll do too, Nick? I'll pull it up and I'll respond. That was an email that came just as we were starting the show.
Yep.
Excellent. Well, Dick, we continue to wait, watch, and hope, and get some of the questions answered here locally, and we got a little bit of direction that came from the governor's office when it comes to the Finger Lakes region, and we talked yesterday to Austin Reed, and so Finger Lakes looks like they've got a roadmap, and now we got to hear about Long Island, got to hear about downstate, and once that gets going, we'll be able to know what we're going to have here this summer. And still kind of hopeful. I know that you were cautiously pessimistic. I don't know if I've ever heard that expression put together, cautiously pessimistic, but I think we're still holding out hope here, no?
Well, the optimist says the glass is half full. The pessimist says the glass is half empty. The engineer says the glass is twice the size it needs to be. Think about that.
I tell you,
the Pennsylvania thing is really disheartening because the governor didn't even answer the question. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
That's a slap in the face. I mean, it really is. He lumps them in with movie theaters and, oh, jeez.
Yeah. Yeah, it it's a strange, and that's why, you know, Todd Mosteller, who's been very quiet and patient, that's why Todd spoke out a little bit, and because this didn't make any sense. And, you know, and the strangest thing about what's gone on with the governor's office is that for a long period of time, he's been very laissez-faire. And then all of a sudden, in the last whatever, you know, between the attack on the fund and then this, you know, stonewalling, it demonstrates kind of a shift, you know, from not really, you know, being pro or negative either way toward equine sport interests, which are extensive in Pennsylvania, harness and thoroughbred and on the breeding side. All of a sudden, you know, he seems to be doing all he can to be, you know, up against the interests. It's very frustrating.
And did Austin indicate when Fingerlakes could possibly get going?
They said that they expect and hope to be opening the backstretch June 1st, and then be running about 30 days later, essentially July 1st.
Okay. Yeah, because I think they're looking at 75 to 80 race days with what's left of the rest of the year.
Till December, yeah.
So I've been trying to follow them, and then Todd's website always has updated information that I go to. But it says, you know, you make a pitch, you try to explain, and the guy lumps you in. And instead of lumping you in with like a drive-in movie theater. He lumps you
right.
Shopping mall movie theater. It's like,
well, that's one of the, you know, it's funny. The whole drive-in, I was waiting for this. I saw the first article about that, the return of drive-in theaters that are going to be, you know, the first opportunity for people to, you know, to see first-run entertainment, you know, from the comfort of their own car. It's kind of funny. And there's two that we can think of offhand. I don't know as much down toward Albany, but, of course, at Saratoga, you got the Malta drive-in. And
right.
Out on the road between Greenwich and Cambridge, if you're heading to Bennington, there's the drive-in that is on, and I'm going to forget what the road is, but it's on the way to Bennington in Hoosick Falls. So those two, and you know, they do a nice summer business, I may have to take Tina because I'm sure she had to fight off a few boyfriends over the years, having grown up in Hoosick. I'm gonna ask her that actually at the break. I want to hear that story.
tell us what she said.
Well, don't worry. She's not to be messed with. She was a tremendous athlete, and I don't think. I don't think she and her sister Terry, tall and plenty of vim and vigor. Let's put it that way. I love it. Well, Dick, is your wife any closer to coming home?
Oh yeah, she's home. Yeah, she got in.
Oh good. Okay.
She made it in the end of April. She shipped the horse up. They took the horse to the wrong farm. thank God she was traveling and she wasn't here. Otherwise, she would have been at the barn at 2 in the morning and the van pulls up with one horse left on the van, and it's not our horse. She would, oh, God, I can't imagine. So they had to go back like an hour and a half, take this horse back, get her horse, bring her horse up to here. I mean, I don't know how you could screw this up, but he's 17-1. Bright chestnut, big white blaze, four white stockings. Now, the stockings don't matter because they're covered up with bandages and shipping boots and everything. But he's very distinguishable. And it's, you know, it's late at night. Who knows how long they've been driving. It's just yes, she did make it home. She has complained about the weather because all she complained about in Florida was it was 90 degrees and hot. And I said, well, you know, it's not really hot up here.
And yeah, don't worry about that.
Yes, Now she goes riding, and yesterday she had to put earmuffs on him because it's so windy, and when you're in the arena, you get all these rattles and stuff, and the horses don't like that. So, yeah, she's home, and she's back working, and everything. Very quickly back to normal, nice. But I promised her the weather would be nice, and we don't even have the pool open. I always tell people I could have five dead bodies in my pool. I wouldn't even know it.
Until you pull back the cover.
Yeah.
That's great.
Exactly.
I mean, well, at this point, you're going to have to chip the ice away. I mean, it's just crazy.
We usually get in it. The grandkids will go in it, you know, when it's 70, 75 degree temperature. So I don't know what the temperature is. We had to bring plants in last night because of the frost again. So
unbelievable.
It's supposed to warm up. It'll get better.
Only one direction to go. Dick, I appreciate it. And we'll get ready for another weekend. And on the back end here, next 2 months, good luck this weekend. And talk next week.
All right, Steve. Thanks.
Dick Powell, everybody, HKJC Racing on Twitter, HKJC.com for just everything, all the tools, as we discussed, in fact, last week with Tommy Masses. Take a break here. Coming up at the top of the hour, get Tony Black in. Got a few things for Tony, Steve Haskin later, Rich Eng, and more. Back after this, Hour 2 at the Races.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
If you are racing two-year-olds in California, Kentucky, please consider Bleeder Shield, the leading all-natural paste used to greatly reduce or eliminate EIPH. The list of trainers who trust Bleeder Shield is endless. Shouldn't you join the team? To learn more, contact Joseph Vellante at 215-501-6880.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Here in Pennsylvania, we have the best breeding program in the country, thanks in part to our Racehorse Development Trust Fund. It's a trust, it's not tax dollars, and by law, our fund is completely protected. These are difficult days for all of us. When life in America gets back to normal, and it will, our PA breeding program will be here, stronger and better than ever. To learn more about how we're protecting the trust, go to PABred.com to watch a short video.
How's it going, Sue?
Hey!
Have you seen this commercial?
What career track are you on?
University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck.
Isn't that the horse racing school that Bob Baffert went to?
Yeah, Todd Fletcher, too, and lots of other major players in every area of the industry.
Really? Like what?
Well, for starters, we have graduates who are executives at Churchill Downs, NYRA, Darley America, Gulfstream, Keeneland, you name it. They're also regulators, racing officials, bloodstock agents, track announcers. My class had a job placement rate of almost 90%.
Wow, what other college program has results like that?
What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
Sirius XM.